The scripture this morning is Isaiah 49:5-10, which is found on Pew Bible 629 and 630, and Matthew 5:1-16, which is on Pew Bible page 837 and 838. And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel. To him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of the rulers, the kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in the darkness, be free. They will be fed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water." Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if those salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and give its light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven."
Imagine with me a situation. Perhaps it comes early in the morning on one of those days when you're not rushed to wake up. You have a chance just to open up your eyes and adjust to being awake and embracing the new day. And you're amazed to see sunlight coming in the window. And God blessed me with one of these moments this morning. There's a great band of sunlight there on the door, brilliant, blazing there. It's strains your eyes to look at it. And yet there's something beautiful and inviting and brilliant about it that draws you to it, and you just find yourself amazed at the presence of sunlight. And we think about the way light plays such a crucial part in our lives and how we take it for granted all the time. painters and photographers study light, the mysteries of light, the way it changes throughout the day, the differences between light in a building or outside, in the shade, the way it changes throughout the seasons. And we certainly can tell the difference between the light in January or the light in July. We think about the importance of light in so many different situations. Some of the obvious ones come up in the night. Think about crossing a child's bedroom and you know all those sharp toys are there for your bare feet. You wonder, can I cut the light on? But no, your child is sleeping. You have to carefully navigate across the floor. Or think you're just approaching your house and you forgot to turn on the porch light, but you know it's October and there's a big spider web there. All sorts of situations. You are on a boat, a storm at night, and you are straining to see the light from the lighthouse on land. All these situations where light plays such an important, crucial role. This morning, in Jesus' teachings, light becomes a very important image. It is an image that we see throughout the Bible. And of course, in the very first chapter of Genesis, God said, "Let there be light." God is the source of light. And it's not surprising that light becomes such an important measure of spiritual truths in the Bible as well. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount here, gives one of the more famous images associated with light as a metaphor for the spiritual life. "Let your light shine so that others will see good works and glorify the name of God our Father." Here, Jesus is the beginning of his ministry once again. We've seen him throughout, calling his disciples, preaching in the synagogues, preaching out in public, drawing people to him, healing, coming into conflict with the Pharisees. And now here in this collection in Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, we have something typically referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, one of the more famous collections of Jesus' teachings. And here, this kernel that we often refer to as the Beatitudes, the series of blessings. This is a very important passage, and it's after those Beatitudes that we have Jesus comparing his followers to salt and to light. And it's that image of light that we're going to focus on this morning, because Jesus here is making a reference to imagery that we see in the Hebrew Scriptures, in the Old Testament, specifically in the book of Isaiah, as Ian read in chapter 49. And that crucial verse there, "I shall appoint you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach earth's farthest bounds." And there also imagery of delivering those people who are in darkness and guiding them forward into the light and God's promises for the future. That is what Jesus is referencing here. And now he's saying those who want to follow him will follow in the same kind of mission, same kind of responsibility, to be a light to the nations. This morning, Ken was reminding me of the passage about being, or the way we frequently say we should be a beacon to our community. And the deacons have been so helpful in going around the church property and considering how it looks at night and making sure we have all the lights here and the lights pointing at the steeple. So if you're ever here on church grounds at night, offer up a prayer of appreciation for that and the importance of helping illuminate our church in the darkness. It's a great metaphor for what we are supposed to be doing as a body of believers in this community. But many of us might say, well, it's nice to say, "Let your light shine. Let us be a light to the community." But what does that specifically mean? How do I get down to some specific details about following in Jesus' footsteps and becoming a light? There's a reason why his admonition or command to be a light follows the Beatitudes, these series of eight blessings. And they offer more specifics into how we are to be lights in our community. The first of these is, blessed are the poor in spirit. If you read this in Luke's version, he just leaves it as blessed are the poor. And there are some parallels here. Luke is much more concerned about the oppressed and the outcast. But even those that are poor are dealing with a day-to-day struggle to meet their needs. And in that, they're not taking things for granted as much as those who are well off. And in that, they realize their dependence more. And in this, Jesus is saying those who are poor in spirit acknowledge their dependence upon God. And Jesus says they will be blessed with the kingdom of God. That they will find a new place, a new community, and their desires will ultimately find fulfillment in that kingdom. Their focus is not on this world, but on the world to come. And in that, they are letting their light shine. Jesus also speaks for those who are sorrowful, those who mourn. This is not saying he is there to offer comfort for people who have patterned their lives out in certain ways and then are just disappointed with the way things have turned out and you haven't gotten the biggest house in the neighborhood. It's not along those lines. It's more along the lines of those who mourn because we live in a broken world and then seek to do something about it. I think of the great humanitarian Albert Schweitzer, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in the 20th century. Albert Schweitzer had the chance to be an academic in Europe. But he left all that behind to become a medical missionary to Africa, and he helped establish a hospital to lepers. Throughout the midst of the wars, he held on to that, and there's still a hospital there in Lamborghini. His famous statement was that there were only a few moments in his life when he could really say that he was happy and joyful. And for many of us who hear that for the first time, we think, well, how sad can that be? But his response was, he's so aware of the suffering that is in the world that he wants to do something about it. And he can't rest and have happiness and joy because he's got to get out there and try to alleviate as much suffering as possible. And that's what I think of in terms of Jesus saying, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Those who seek to reach out because our world is broken. Those who are aware of the suffering in the world and want to seek to do something about it. Jesus also speaks for those who are meek. We have highlighted this part of Jesus' ministry from the very beginning, even if you might not have realized it. We don't really use the word meek all that often today, but we think about those who are involved in everyday projects and don't call attention to themselves. We can relate to that kind of a description. Jesus himself did not seek disciples among the wealthy and the ones who were in power, but he went out into the common spaces and called fishermen and tax collectors. Jesus sought those who were meek to be his disciples. And even today, those who serve, those who clean, those who collect trash, those who patrol neighborhoods, those who stand at cash registers, all of these service positions can be places where Jesus can use you to advance the kingdom of God. You do these things not to call attention to yourselves, but you do these things because they are places of service and they are essential to our community. Jesus says these people will inherit the earth. the redeemed earth that God has in store. Jesus also speaks for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who are not satisfied with sitting back and letting life pass by, but those who desire a relationship with God. And as we've seen in previous examples in the Gospels, just like the friends who brought the paralyzed man to see Jesus, those who do everything to seek ways to communicate God's love and mercy to this world, who desire to grow in their connection with God, these are the ones that will be satisfied, not because they achieved it on their own, but because God graciously extended it to them, the Holy Spirit coming to rest upon them. Jesus also speaks for the merciful. And throughout the Gospel of Matthew, we see this time and time again. The measure that we use will come back on us, even as we recite the Lord's Prayer. Forgive those who sin against us as we forgive those who sin against us. And that sense of that connection, that we are to share the grace and the mercy that God has given to us. And when we so do, then God will shower mercy on us. One of the great blessings here, to receive mercy from God. Then Jesus speaks for those who are pure in heart. For those of us who seek to draw close to God, we know how difficult this one can be. How to be pure in heart. We're constantly looking at ourselves, constantly looking at the rearview mirror with our lives and saying, well, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. How can I even move in the direction of purity? And yet this is one of the essential parts of the covenant with Israel. If you go back and read in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, all those regulations there, but particularly interspersed through Leviticus, throughout all the regulations about what Israel can and cannot do, and their standards of what is a holy and clean life versus a profane and unclean life. Throughout this, there are several verses that say, do this so that you will be holy as God is holy. And so when we seek to be pure in heart, we are moving toward God. We are moving toward holiness and God's very nature. And certainly in the New Testament, we also associate purity with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Once again, purity is not something that we attain, but purity is a gift. When God sends the Holy Spirit among us, then we are able to repair the damage, the discord that's brought by our disobedience and sin. And so the Holy Spirit brings purity of heart. And those who are pursuing these things, let their light shine and receive one of the biggest blessings, to be able to see God, moving closer to God. Then Jesus speaks for the peacemakers. And we think about the values that are communicated in these blessings, and this one is a difficult one because many of us look around, and if we hear that somebody is a pacifist, we automatically could be suspicious and we think, well, you don't know the way the world is. The world is a violent place of war, and the only way to live and survive in that is to take up arms and defend yourself and stake off your territory. But Jesus is speaking about God's kingdom, not the world we try to build here, but God's kingdom. And in God's kingdom, the blessing is on those who seek to build bridges, who seek to reconcile, who seek to bring people together. And once again, God's hand is moving in this. The Holy Spirit is about building community, and the Holy Spirit guides peacemakers. And in this, peacemakers are called God's children. And then we think about all of these things. If we are poor in spirit and our values are elsewhere, if we are mourning the injustices in the world and trying to do something to solve them, if we are not demanding attention but looking for ways to serve and build, if we're looking for ways to put God's kingdom first, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, if we are seeking to be pure in heart and peacemakers, we're going to stand out. The rest of the world will look at us and wonder what's wrong with us. And just like somebody who is in the dark, in a dark room, you throw the light switch, what's the immediate reaction? The person's startled. In the world around us, sometimes there'll be a backlash to the kind of life that Jesus calls us to live. Not everyone will be open and receptive to it. Sometimes there'll be a violent turn against it. And that's what Jesus speaks of in this last blessing. If the world turns against you because you are a follower of Christ, God will take note of that. God will ultimately bring a reckoning. God will ultimately bring blessing to you if you hold on throughout that dark time. And so if we're asking ourselves, well, what does it mean to be a light to our community? Jesus offers some pretty specific guidance here in these blessings. These are different values than the world typically offers. We don't hear these things in boardrooms or in self-help seminars. These are about submitting to God. These are about confession of our sins. These are about becoming attuned to the movement of the Holy Spirit. Different branches of the church community have offered different parts, emphasized different parts of the Bible in their descriptions of salvation. The Orthodox Church, Eastern Orthodoxy, which you associate with Greece and Eastern Europe and Russia, has been very good over the centuries to emphasize light as one of the great images of salvation. And that sense of describing the path of the disciple as one seeking the light. And the imagery here is that we are mirrors, and that when sin comes into our lives, when we give ourselves over to these different values and desires, the mirror becomes clouded and no longer reflects. But when Jesus comes along and washes us clean, justifies us before God, then God can work with the movement of the Holy Spirit to buff that mirror clean so that gradually over time we are reflecting the light of God. God is the ultimate source of that, and we become the reflectors of that light into the world as God's Spirit moves through us. I don't know if you've ever been to a candlelight service or a memorial where everyone held up a light. If you ever attend one of those, I doubt you'll come away unchanged. There's something very powerful about having a light in front of you and seeing every person with a light, and that sense of a community vividly portrayed in the presence of the lights of those candles. It starts to show us, specifically as Christians, the power of the community of Christ, the power of coming together, the power of letting the Holy Spirit shine through us. And that is what Jesus is talking about this morning. And if we follow in His footsteps, we will be able to say that we will let our little light shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. This morning we come now to a time of invitation and commitment, a time for you to make a commitment to be a disciple of Christ. If you've never done that before, this church will receive that decision with joy and will help you on that journey of becoming more Christ-like. Now also is a time, if you've already made that commitment and been part of a church community over the years, to recommit to being a light to your community, to look for ways to be pure in heart, to be a peacemaker, to be meek and humble in our community, to find places to serve and to help others around us. These are decisions that we make as we stand together as a congregation and sing hymn number 718, Day by Day. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 718.